Ken Johnson, let's talk about some of the images that you preserved. A couple of them we've posted on the Coast website so that our listeners can reference them. One shows what appears to be three big wheels made out of stone or something that looks like stone with what appears to be an axle through the middle of them. Do you remember that image, and what can you tell us about it?
I understand that image actually was taken by a Russian craft on the lunar surface, and what it looks to me like is an auger. You know, I've used a lot of those here on the farm to bore holes in, and it certainly does not look like any type of a natural geological rock of some sort. So that one stands out very strongly as not being a natural item. So though I would look at that and say, "Wow, found the world of that on the lunar surface."
There's another image that we posted. What you've labeled as a blue ship. It just looks like a blue blob. What is that? How do you interpret that one?
I think somebody else said it was a blue ship. I've never said that. That was a picture. If you'll notice, you've got Ed Mitchell standing in the area up there, and Gene Cernan's taking the picture. Now, as I mentioned earlier, on the lunar surface, when they bring down the gold mylar and lens to protect their eyes from the glare, they would not even be able to see that. And when you take the pictures that we have, and that actually was an Apollo 14 shot number AS14669301, and if you turn the gain down and adjust your filter, not your filter, but your focusing, that brings up all kinds of structures in that same area where you're looking at the prism, the light effect. So you've got the sun reflecting off something that's being suspended above the lunar surface. There's another one a little bit further over to the right. Just you look up from where the astronaut's standing up to probably about the 1 o'clock position, up about an inch above that, if you're looking at the picture I'm looking at. And when you turn the gain up and you take a good look at it, then you're going to see other lines and buttresses and support. So there is something in the background that the astronauts were unable to see while they're on the surface. And again, the scientists that have looked at this stuff said silicone or glass. In fact, I know that glass is considered a very strong, in a vacuum, it has the tensile strength of steel. It will fracture. But if you were going to build anything because of the abundance of silicone on the lunar surface, you would certainly want to use glass as a means to produce your domes or produce your beams and supports. And there's some really fantastic pictures. There's one picture with Apollo 15 along Mount Hadley. There is it looks to me probably about a quarter of a mile long beam laying up the side of a mountaintop. It's curved as it's leaning and sagged. So there's some really phenomenal pictures that show some strange things on the moon.
Well, talk to me about them. Let's go down a laundry list. Which ones jump out at you that you saw either while you were still at NASA or later as you analyzed these photos?
Well, you've got an excellent one up right now, of course. And then the picture on the backside of the moon, which it was really difficult for me to try to remember the name of the crater some 20, 30 years later. And Steve Troy and some other people were kind of doing they were challenging me and making me try to recall things. It was hypnosis, but we kept going over and over. And then we got out some of the charts showing where the command module was circling moon on the backside. And then as it came up on the crater, rather large crater on the backside called Tsiolkovsky, it rang a bell, and there it was. That was the one where we had seen the domes and things on the inside. So for years, I actually didn't have time to be involved because I went on to work for the Boeing company as a 737 flight instructor, and busy, married, and raising a family. So I wasn't active in that. I did wind up, there was a little group of us. We started getting involved in UFOs and tracking what was going on. We formed our own little group in Boeing we called the Majestic 12, because if somebody would read something and they'd make a copy and they'd send it through the Boeing mail to us, and we kept track with it that way. And I got a hold of a book, the very first one, which was The Monuments of Mars, and Joe Rosario, one of the engineers, says, "Oh, by the way, Mr. Hoagland's going to be giving a conference at the Science Center here in Seattle." And I'm one of these kind of people, if I get the opportunity to get the author of a book to sign one of the books, I'll go to any length to try to get there. So I typed up a nice little letter of introduction because I'd heard him on Coast to Coast talk about, if there was anybody out there that had data or information or pictures, please come forward. And here I'm sitting there with all these pictures, and I typed up who I was, what I'd done, and I went down, and they had some people sitting out front taking tickets. I gave them the letter. The young lady read the letter. She says, "Don't move. Stay right where you're at." And I thought, "Uh-oh, I'm in trouble." And a couple minutes later, Mr. Hoagland came out. He says, you're who we've been looking for." And that's kind of how I met Mr. Hoagland for the first time. The next day, he brought his whole crew over to my my house, and we started looking at pictures I had. And again, mine are first-generation prints off the negative. And you're going to see the detail and stuff in these prints, which I've kept inside document protectors and inside a safe and stuff for years and decades now. Protect him. So every once in a while, something will come up, and then Mr. Hoagland will get in touch with me and say, "Can you pull up this particular picture and take a look at it and see if something is really there?" Because, like you say, there are people that, I don't know, some people look like they think that an alligator is crawling across the surface on the moon. Well, they've got no evidence or documents to prove that. But when you're looking at anomalies like this solar flare, not solar flare, I should say, this prism effect on this picture, and a lot of the terraced arcologies and domes and things, and if you look at them in the actual prints that we had in mind, they stand out very distinctly. And my hat is off to the people who have been using these poor quality prints that have been sent out. And now, by the way, you know, all in the catalogs that NASA puts out of their pictures, not all the pictures are listed there. Now, that ought to send up a red flag, too. And I can say that from some of the scientists have said, well, they have decided, well, there's a picture, they wonder what the next one would look like, and they'll just add a number to it and request it, and lo and behold, they'll wind up getting a picture that's not inside the catalog. And it usually has some anomaly in it that we can only surmise that someone didn't want us to see.
Go down the list. What other impressive photos that stand out in your mind? I mean, you've got a couple of things that are ascribed as being superstructures or like buildings.
Right. Well, the main ones that are, you'll see arches, you can see in some of the pictures, you can see where it looks like they're actual, I'd call it a road, if you want to call it that, up to where there are arches or domes. There are pictures that show a perfectly round hole, which you might ascribe that to a vent, not a crater, because if it were a crater, you know, you'd see the ridges and any central peaks if they were a large one or small. And so there are a lot of places where you can be looking at the surface, and then right over there you'll see a vent or some kind of a hole. If it's not a defect in the picture, and then there's so much left, it's kind of hard to tell. Another one was during Apollo 15, astronaut Jim Irwin, and, let me think. Making my brain here, big here. Dave Scott, Al Wharton, and Jim Irwin, when they were on the lunar surface and they went over to Hadley Reel, and some of the pictures they took across there are some photographs from the command module looking down, which actually shows beams stretching across from one side of the reel, or call it a crack or a ditch, whatever you call it, but it's called Hadley Reel. And it's exposing some of the substructure under the moon. And I've had numerous people tell me, on Apollo 11 and 12 and 14, on all the missions, whenever they would finish and rendezvous with the command module, they would remotely back the lunar module away from the command module, fire its rockets, and set it into a descent to crash into the lunar surface. Whenever it would hit the lunar surface, the scientific experiments that we had on the surface, which were checking for earthquakes or seismic information, the moon would ring like a bell, and not just, you know, for a few seconds, but for over a day, it'd keep vibrating and ringing, which made some people say that it could the moon possibly be hollow inside. Well, that's another good reason we need to go back. People used to joke at it since I was a lunar module testman. I said, if we could get the keys to the craft, would you fly us back and let us check and see what's really on the moon, or if we can find a way to get inside?